Ulrich Czerny is Executive Director of the Forum 2000 Foundation, which every year invites some of the world's leading thinkers to a conference in Prague. Forum 2000 was co-founded by Václav Havel, with whom Mr. Czerny was closely involved for many years. Indeed, he organized what was to be the former president's final public appearance, a meeting with the Dalai Lama a week before his death last month. We discussed his cooperation with Mr. Havel when I met Ulrich Czerny at his office in Hradčany. But our conversation first touched on his job before the Velvet Revolution, translating American and British films. So what kind of Western movies were being shown in Czechoslovakia in the 1980s?
Well, there are no political movies, no movies critical of anything but capitalism. And light comedies. And of course, towards the end of the 80s, these movies always came with 1 or 2 or 3 years delay, but we got our portion of Spielberg's and Lucas's and so on.
So E.T., for instance, would have been here in the 80s?
I did subtitles for the E.T., yes.
Well, the 80s, of course, culminated with the Velvet Revolution here in what was then Czechoslovakia. What are your strongest memories of that time?
It is difficult to single out one strongest memory, because there were so many of them, you know. So it was a very moving time. I mean, people cried a lot. I was working in the coordination center of the Civic Forum, running various errands for Václav Havel and other people, because I was the one who spoke English. Not many revolutionaries spoke English in those days. That has changed. And no revolutionaries, and everybody speaks English these days.
You became Václav Havel's national security advisor. Was that an area that you had taken an interest in prior to the revolution?
But national security advisor, I mean, meaning me, Ulrich Czerny, as the national security advisor, was too lofty an unreal title. Because I was no Condoleezza Rice or anyone like that. I more or less a messenger, you know. So I was Václav Havel's links between the president's office, between the presidency and the military and intelligence community, law enforcement. That was it. You know, I kept him aware of what was happening.
Was that for you a steep learning curve working at the castle in those days?
Boy, I had to learn very, very fast. I had to learn very fast because until then I had absolutely no... If you exclude the bad ones, you know, so we had with the Communist Secret Police, with STB, I had absolutely no experience with security. None of us had an experience with security from the other side of the crosshair. We all have to learn very fast, you know, so in whatever field we are responsible for, but I think in my case it was even faster because I couldn't afford too many mistakes. I came late to the castle and nobody wanted to do security. So that's how I landed with this job, you know, so just by pure chance, by pure accident.
Well, you went from there to a very much hands-on job, I guess, as Director General of the Czech Foreign Intelligence Service. What exactly was that agency doing?
Well, according to the law, which wasn't adopted when I was there, when I started there, I mean, it was adopted only 2 or 3 years later under pressure. This agency is supposed to collect and disseminate information vital for the economic security and foreign political interests of the Czech Republic. That's it. That's the only sentence allotted to the activities of this service. And I think the lawmakers did know what they were doing when they didn't go too far into greater detail.
But you were there for 5 years. What actually was the agency doing?
Well, when I came there, it was doing nothing at all. It was hanging in the void. I mean, the division of the state was the biggest task of those days, and it was nearly completed. And when I came to the service, I mean, even though my subordinates tried to make it otherwise, I mean, it didn't take me very long to find out that the agency is producing some sort of reporting, but nobody's interested in it. And when I asked them who was the recipient of the reports, you know, before I came to the service, they said, you at the castle was the only one who took interest in what we produced and from time to time presented to the president. So by coming, paradoxically, by coming to the service, I deprived the service of the sole recipient of its reporting.
So was it a frustrating job then, if you felt like you weren't achieving anything?
Well, if you are a director of the Foreign Intelligence Service, and you have absolutely no working ties, no ties whatsoever, even negative ties with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, you just can't do this job. So one of my first meetings was with the then Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, and I told him that I couldn't do the job unless we started to cooperate.
Now you are the head of the Prague Security Studies Institute, and you're the executive director of the Forum 2000 Foundation. For our listeners who don't know it, what is Forum, and how has it developed over the years?
Well, I should say that the Forum 2000 Foundation was founded in 1986, when Elie Wiesel and Václav Havel went for a walk during one of the conferences, and one of them said, wouldn't it be nice if we invited to Prague, you know, people from different walks of life, scientists and Nobel Peace Prize laureates and people from different walks of life, different religious denominations and so on, because it's the end of the century. And so let's take a stock of what happened to us, you know, in the last century, and what we should expect in the next century and in the next millennium. I do have them expected this, the conference would develop into a highly successful conference series. I mean, somehow got out of hand, and right now, despite Václav Havel's death, we are in the middle of preparations of the 16th anniversary from 2000 conference. And from 2000 survives thanks to a series of lucky accidents, breaks, miracles, and also determinations of people like myself and my team to keep it going. And gradually it became very popular in this country. It took 15 years, but at least it happened. That's one of those accidents and miracles that happened to me, one of the many in a series of accidents and miracles that happened to me since the autumn of 1989.
Now, of course, Václav Havel is sadly no longer with us. Do you think that the Forum can continue without him?
I certainly think so, although I can't be 100% sure. Václav Havel is the author or father of quite a few initiatives. Some of these initiatives were one-shot events, like conferences, seminars, and so on. But three of his initiatives stand out, and that is VISA 97, which together with Dagmar Havel, which focuses on humanitarian issues. Then there is this Václav Havel's library. And the third one with sort of international dimension is from 2000. So I suppose that if we want to do what we say we want to do, which is to cherish and take care of the legacy of Václav Havel, that's a very important part of the legacy, this free exchange of views and ideas on some very important issues facing the humankind in a civilized atmosphere on international scale. It doesn't really matter whether it's Prague or Budapest or whatever. So anyway, we would like to continue, and of course it depends on how successful we will be. It depends on many factors, and I'll try to stay realist, and I know that some sponsors when it comes to nitty-gritty can be very, very pragmatic and so on, but we don't know unless we try, and I think that we must try.
How hard did Václav Havel's death hit you personally? I see, for instance, in front of us there's a picture of Mr. Havel meeting the Dalai Lama a week before he died, and I know you organized that meeting.
I'm glad it worked out. Well, it hit me personally so much that I still can't talk about it.
Could I possibly ask you, what do you think Mr. Havel's legacy will be for the Czech Republic?
Well, I mean, his legacy will be very simple. After this mania of renaming streets and airports and building monuments blows over, His legacy will be his ideas and his philosophy, as you know, is extremely simple. It's life in truth, respect for human rights, support for emerging democracies, and this is basically it, you know. So it's easy to say, but as far as life in truth, for example, is not such an easy thing to practice. I don't know whether I'll be able to practice it.